Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Charles Thomas with Impact Now Radio. Just want to say good afternoon to everyone, and we're going to go ahead and jump right into this. I just want to first give the call-in number for anyone that wants to call in and with any questions or comments or or might give your understanding of the scriptures or just probably give your experience to what you're just dealing with faithfulness and what you learned in your walk with the Lord, you know, dealing with faithfulness, dealing with loyalty, dealing with commitment to Him, to His Word, and basically to His kingdom and what He stands for. So that call in number is 347-3065, 347-426-3065, or you can contact me by email at ccthomas178@gmail.com. Once again, ccthomas. Excuse me about this. Trying to catch a little cold out here. The email address is ccthomas178@gmail.com. All right, we're going to go ahead and continue with this topic. You are not faithful till there's another option available. And we will, so they listen to the first part of this, you know, dealing with coming out of Genesis chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4. But we want to take a little more time dealing with Genesis chapter 3, and we will also go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 today. And we'll try to deal with some things, pull some things out, and faithfulness, and just really try to make this topic real time right now. How sometimes how we feel when it seems like people who should be with us or for us, you know, are the ones who tend to sell us down the breath. So, you know, I just pray right now, Lord, that as we endeavor to go into this topic, Lord God, in dealing with faithfulness and commitment, and Lord God, how sometimes we think we're as committed and faithful to You, to Your Word, Lord God, and to the mission at hand, Lord God, but then there's those trials, those situations and tribulations that comes to really show us, Lord God, that we're not as committed as we made ourselves believe. So, Lord God, I pray, Father, you know, that in every temptation we deal with, in every trial we go through, in every storm we deal with, Lord God, Father, I pray that we will learn what it means to be committed, that we will learn what it means to stand faithful, Lord God, and know what it means to actually, Lord God, to stand for Your Word, even when it seems like everyone else is walking away. So, Lord, I just pray that You'll give us an inner fortitude, an inner strength, Lord God, to stand for what we believe in, even when it seems like everyone is walking away, the masses are following a delusion. Lord God, Father, I just pray that we would just be the only person standing for the Word of God. So, Father, I just thank You, especially in these times where now that Your people are becoming the odd man out, Lord God, we're being singled out. But, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that those who will stand faith be the ones who You will come and protect, just like how You protected, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You know, when they did not bow down, when everybody else was bowed down, Lord God, they chose to stand faith. And, Lord God, and You came in the midst of the fire with them, Lord God. So, Father, I pray that we would have the same steel poured down in our soul, Lord God, that even when it seems like we're facing, Lord God, insurmountable odds, Lord God, that we will not bow down to the devil. We will not bow down to our jobs. We will not bow down to our kids, to our family members, to our spouses that are walking contrary to the Word of God. And Lord, we just say thank You, and we give Your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, we're dealing with the topic, You are not faithful till there's another option available. And we're going to look at and jump off from Genesis chapter 3, and then we're going to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right. So we're going to go ahead and jump off of that. At Genesis chapter 3, and then read, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and it gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. All right, that was Genesis chapter 3, verses 1. The seventh, now we're going to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1, going to verse 19, and I'm going to read through this quickly, but clearly as possible. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And the husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, to the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, whom, considering the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith or the faithfulness of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm going to read verse 19 one more time. Now I'm going to read verse 18 and 19 one more time. Who concerning the truth hath erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some, or the faithfulness of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. All right, this is a statement I want to make, or like one gentleman said yesterday, this is basically my thesis statement, or the point I want to make. That this time, as we continue to build upon this lesson, this is the eventually the goal I want to get to bring out. That in the process of trying to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the purpose of the kingdom and to the word of God, the ultimate goal occasion is this: to cause you to attitude to no longer remain faithful to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ by way of the Word. Every false teaching, false doctrine, the temptation to sin, whether through fornication, all these things ultimately lead to lack of faithfulness. It's to cause you to err. And you might say, well, how is that? Like I said, I'm going to make the statement. It's not ahead of myself, open. It's almost, what's the limit? Put this target, this goal out there, so when we go back, this will help us to remain focused on, as we begin to draw the connections through Scripture, how when we begin to see how through the Old Testament and how the enemy or these demons, these fallen angels and stuff that manifested through the various foreign tribes, how their ultimate goal was that if we could get them to sin, it would then skew or it would null void their faithfulness to God, therefore provoking or invoking the wrath of God on them. Point. Balak came to Balaam and asked him to curse these people for him, and he would give him, you know, all this money, this treasures, wealth. And when he came and said, well, I cannot, and he said something key. We like to quote this, but we're not really understanding what is being said. He said, I cannot curse what God has already blessed. Why is that? Because Israel, to the point where they were able to, were faithful to the command of God. And then be faithful to the command of God, you're faithful to the character of God, because God's command and what to do, what not to do, is more so a reflection of his character or a reflection of his holiness or a reflection of what he stands for. And so now, for a time when they were remaining faithful to that, no matter how many times Balaam tried to go back and conjure up to curse the people of God, he always turned around and ended up blessing. But then he told Balak, this is what you can do. Because as long as these people are in faithfulness to God and in right standing with God, there's nothing that you're going to be able to do to overthrow them. But however, if you begin to find out what their weakness of flesh is, present that opportunity to partake in that thing that would gratify the flesh, it would then begin to infringe upon the faithfulness that they have towards God, therefore breaking covenant or breaking harmony with God, and therefore causing God to show up to come to deal with them. This is why when we look back, when we see when Adam partook of the fruit, the very next verse says that then they heard the voice of God walking into the garden in the cool of day. Why is that? Because when Adam partook of that fruit, he understood that the communication barrier had just been disrupted. Why? Because Adam's faithfulness to the command of God has just been infringed upon. So now we have to understand this. Everything the enemy does day in our life, it is to infringe upon the faithfulness and that we have in the, or in the faithfulness in communication, the faithfulness when it comes to relationship with our Lord and Savior. It has, you know, if that is in proper connection, the enemy could only go but so far in attacking us, dealing with us, unless there's something that the Lord is allowing him to do to give us understanding, to give us revelation, to give us wisdom, to make us stronger, and use it as an opportunity to bring us up higher in him. But other than that, there's just but so much he can do because our faithfulness is intact. But when the enemy begins to find out, or when he begins to dangle things that we struggle with in our past before us to see if it's still a struggle, and we begin to give attention to that thing, and it begins to distract us away from God, this is when now this thing has now begun to infringe upon the communication and the faithfulness, or the faithful communicate, or the faithful commitment that has been, that has been burned through a proper relationship, you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go to work and people start doing certain things, it's because they're trying to get you out of character, so then that you would end up doing something that would then infringe upon the communication and the faithfulness, or the faithfulness of your representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore skewing your testimony. So we have to go into this thing with a different mindset, to saying, you know what, this thing is just not about me fornicating. It's not just about me getting drunk or taking a drink. This thing is just not about me, you know, laughing at a dirty joke. This thing is just not about you. But what it's about is infringing upon the faithful communication and the relationship between me and my Savior. This is why the scripture has says that it is your sin that has basically eschewed, that separated you, that pulled you away, or that has disrupted the communication between you and your God. So as we go back to Genesis, with that mindset, we have the enemy, just backdrop, that he did not approach Adam, because Adam or the man understood the command that was given to him, that you could partake of any fruit of any tree in the garden. There could have been some trees in it that bore nuts and, you know, other kind of nuts and berries and stuff like that. Because God is diverse. You know, he's diverse. You know, so I'm questioning just every tree that's bearing fruit. They probably had various, you know, edible things and things that they could partake of, you know, and just enjoy. But the enemy came to draw their mind and their attention to the one thing they couldn't have. And that is just like the enemy when you are in a relationship, in a good relationship, what does the enemy tend to do? He tends to now begin to either draw your attention or try to draw your attention to now someone who that is beautiful, who or shapely, or whatever the case might be, but he's drawing your mind towards something that will infringe upon the faithfulness of your relationship, because it's something that you cannot have, it's something that you cannot partake of, it was something that you that was not meant for you to have. And so now, what is that going to do? Because if you entertain it long enough, it's going to get you to want to now become discontent with what you had. And this is what he was doing to Eve. What he was trying to do is spark a discontentment, not for what she did not have, but for what she did have. So now the thing that brought them sustenance, and the thing that brought them, no, I am no longer content with, because I have now been presented with another option. And this is what the enemy is a master at doing, because this tree has always been there, but why is it such a problem now? See, it was never a problem me just walking around it, looking at it, beholding this beauty and splendor, saying, hey. But now, all of a sudden, I have to have it. I wonder what it is. And it's the same, and vice versa. When it's like when you were, you know, single, it seems like, you know, you couldn't get a look, a stare, you know, a smile, a high, whether from both aspects, whether you being a male or female, you know, of the opposite sex. But it seems like as soon as you get into a committed relationship, where there now we are at a place in singleness of mind to be faithful to one another, because we both are in agreement that we enjoy one another's company to the point of to now we have come to the agreement to be faithful one to one another. This is where now, as the female, you get the guy who always bypassed you, never said hi, never looked your way. Now to say he's going to say hi, he's complimenting on your hair. Oh, nice shoes, this man. Oh, that perfume smells good. Or what kind of lotion is that? What kind of lip balm? There's all these things now. What is happening? The enemy now dangling a forbidden thing in front of you to not so much, how can I say, longing for that because it was always there, but it's to get you to become discontented with what you had. So now you start the comparison, and, you know, and the guy with, you know, he's nice looking, but wow, this one right here, look at him, he's tall, he's built, he's solid, he worked out. Oh, you see that car on top? It's now, because what is happening, you're weighing your options to see, is it worth the risk? Is it really worth risking what I have for something that outwardly looks good, but will it bring the same value and the same commitment that I already have? And the enemy is a master at presenting something like that that looks good in presentation, but in substance is worthless. It has no value to it. Just like the dollar bill, it looks good. It seems like it buys a lot, but when you really dig deeper to the value of a dollar, it's worthless. It's just a piece of paper with color ink on it. That's all it is. It has no more value than, like one person says, this Charmin toilet tissue. This thing. They're basically both the same thing. One just got green ink on it. And so this is what the enemy does, because he's seen something in dialogue with her to see if what he is probing is true, because he understood. I cannot go to the one who got the direct command from God himself. And so what I need to do, because you have to remember, Eve was never the goat. She was not the goat because she was just a means to an end. Because he understood, if I get her, I only get her. But if I could get him, then I not only get him, but I get him, I get her, and I get everything that comes from them and that's under their domain. And so now he understood that I cannot approach him this way because he got the command directly from God. So he goes to the woman, present a statement of to question the character or to question the motive of God. Okay, God, you put us in here. You said we can have all these trees, partake of it and enjoy it, but why this one tree? What is it that you hiding from? And once he was able to present that, and that she was the first instance he knew where he had her, is because she responded. This is where the enemy knows that he got you, or when he knows that there's something there. Because if a female can come in basically in a way get you to question your happiness in the relationship that you're in, she already got you. Because if you are happy and content, if it's for what you have, then what is the need to worry about all the other stuff that's not important or not issue or inconsequential? Dialogue is actually, you didn't already signed off on the fact that, yeah, I'm okay with the option I have, But if a better opportunity comes along, just like with a job, you take a job for right now to basically to meet the need for right now, but when a better opportunity presents itself, you're going to jump ship. This is why we're looking at you're not faithful to there's another option developed. Because we can all sit and say that I'm faithful to God, I'm faithful to his word, I'm faithful to my husband and wife, I'm faithful to this job, or I'm faithful to this to the work or to the vision, to the purpose, until it seems like or until something else presents itself that seems to be a better option. And so when it comes to the ways of God, when it comes to following Jesus Christ, we all say, I love Jesus, and well, yes, it's only word, but when the enemy can start presenting to you another doctrine that, hey, all this remaining loyalty, all this remaining abstinence and not having sex and fornicating and, you know, and all these things. God, you know, God created sex for pleasure because, hey, he made us. He knows that it brings pleasure and it brings joy. So then if I'm with somebody I care about that I love, why is it that I can't have sex with? What is he doing? He is slowly undermining your faithfulness to the word of God that says that no fornicator, no whoremonger, nor just shall enter into the kingdom of God. So now if he can begin to get you to walk into the mindset that God knows my heart, if he can begin to get you to walk in a mindset that, hey, you know, that those days is old and archaic, and, you know, as long as I you know, I love and I do, and I try to do good to my fellow brother and sister, and you know, those who might need help, need food, or need, you know, probably, you know, be short on the bill, and, you know, and I give up my time, my efforts, and my energy, and my money, then, hey, God, this is where really the prosperity gospel actually comes to undermine the faithfulness to the, because now the scripture says that you cannot serve both God and man. Mammon in itself is just not money. Mammon is not just money. It's the encompassing of anything that brings a natural gratification to flesh or the systems of money. It's just not the money, but it's the means of obtaining it. You know, it's the various things that goes along with money and all the things that pertains to that or pertains to just natural gratification. And so he's saying you cannot both serve both natural gratification and God. Because what's going to end up happening is what you say is right or that you should be able to participate in that brings you natural gratification is contrary to what God said you need to govern yourself. So if I tell you that you are not to make no cuttings or no markings in your flesh, but then you go with a mindset that, hey, you know, somebody, you know, and I want to tattoo a scripture to show that, you know, I'm a Christian. This man, look, no, but it is that you have a desire to mark up your body and to show your body off, or because it gratifies you. You don't need to tattoo a scripture on you to show that you are a Christian. You are to live the lifestyle. Not tattoo a scripture on your body, because the scripture says that your body is not your own, but it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so now all these things comes to undermine the faithfulness first to God's word, because God's word is a direct linkage to his character and to his will. And so my time is up. We're going to continue this as we dig deeper and really see how sinister some of these doctrines are. This is Impact Now Radio. You are not faithful to there's another option. See you back here on Wednesday. Good day.